people need to be ready for the possibility of another earthquake. He says people need to have at least 3 days worth of supplies on hand.
Starbucks is apologizing after an employee asked a group of police officers in Tempe, Arizona to leave the store. Customers like John Arnold tell KPNX, the NBC affiliate in Phoenix, that the police officers were doing nothing wrong.
Nobody should be asked to leave if all they're doing is just having a cup of coffee. That's what they have a right to do there.
The officers were asked to leave because a customer reportedly felt unsafe in their presence. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
A new study from the UK says obesity is rivaling smoking as a cause of cancer and responsible for more kidney, bowel, ovarian cancer, and liver cancer than cigarettes. Smoking is still the biggest cause of cancer, but obese people now outnumber smokers by 2-1. Dr. Devi Nampia Parampil is an associate professor at the New York School of Medicine.
This new study is kind of looking at whether it could be more dangerous than tobacco itself, right? So for liver cancer, kidney cancer, colon cancer, and ovarian cancer, it might be. Now, the reason that obesity could be related is that fat seems to affect hormones, so a couple different hormones, whether it's estrogen or insulin. Now, estrogen is the one that controls breast tissue, uterine tissue, ovarian tissue also produces it. And so if there's an issue there, that might be why we're seeing more of those cancers.
And as far as the cause, Dr. Devi says?
They see the correlation. They don't know for sure about the cause. Now, the other issue might be insulin as well, right? So obesity also affects your susceptibility to insulin. And insulin is involved in terms of wound healing. So let's say you get a cut, let's say with a diabetic, might not heal as well. But even if you're not a diabetic, if you're obese, you may also have some problem with wound healing. And the issue is that cancer cells are really like a non-healing wound. So it might be that something is going wrong with these cells. They can't repair themselves, and then they go rogue, and then they cause that cancer.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. This afternoon, the weather, a slight chance of showers. Well, we had those already. And it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 79, and there's sun out now. And tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 60. Tuesday it'll be sunny with a high near 87, northwest winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tuesday night mostly clear with a low around 61. Wednesday sunny with a high near 89, calm winds becoming southwest around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. Prior to that, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 87. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely between 9 a.m. and 3 a.m. And then a chance of showers continuing on after that. And it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 68. Friday, chance of showers, thunderstorms possible after 3 p.m., partly sunny before that, and the chance of precipitation is 50%, and Friday night, there's chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m. Saturday's supposed to be sunny, and Sunday's supposed to be sunny, but we'll see.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers, work out of our houses, use our cell phones, that sort of thing. We have no paid employees, and everybody who works at NAMI is a volunteer. And we try to help people who have either someone in their family, or they know someone, or work with someone, or friends with someone who have a mental health issue. And we also try, if somebody with a mental health issue reaches out to us, we try to see that they get the help that they need. We have a class that we have about two, sometimes three times a year. It's a 12-week course. It's called Family to Family. And it goes over meds and the side effects of meds and what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. It's entirely free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the class, but you do have to register because we can only have so many in the class. Mm-hmm. We also have a support group that we run. It is the third Thursday of every month, and it is at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it starts at 7 and goes to about 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock, depending how long we talk. Again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI. And you don't have to register for the support group. You can just show up. If you have any questions or want some information about certain things, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise we will get back to you. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Maggie Rose, who's the co-founder of Reborn, which she will explain in a little bit. And we also have Teddy with us, who's the marketing director. And she wasn't going to talk, but we put a microphone in front of her. So if she wants to talk, she can, you know. At least you'll hear her if she talks, you know. And if you don't, you know, that's okay, too. It's up to you. Welcome. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules to get here and be with us today. Okay. Maggie, would you explain exactly what Reborn is?
Sure. So first off, we are so thankful to be here as well. So thank you for the opportunity. So Reborn is a suicide prevention-based organization out of Highbridge, New Jersey. And we are a 501c3. We got that status actually last May, so we just celebrated our 1 year. So that is super exciting for us. But when we first launched, I had lost a friend of mine to suicide. And that geared me and fueled me towards trying to understand the statistics on youth suicide. My friend was 19 years old when he passed away. And the statistic at the time in the U.S. was that suicide was the third leading cause of death between the ages of 10 and 24. And today it's the second.
Second, yeah.
So it has gotten worse. So I had switched my major from criminal justice to psychology and met my now co-founder, who is a psychiatric nurse over at Princeton. And her and I said, well, how can we really help today's youth? How can we help suffering youth, especially between those ages of 18 and 24?
Right.
So what Reborn started as was an organization which was really just a group of young people that were focused on creating events that enabled other organizations, other people, bands, other groups in the different counties of New Jersey to come together and talk about mental health. So in many ways, it was more awareness-based when we first started.
Okay.
But as we began to develop our own following and understanding more of the feelings of the young people that we were, you know, catering to,
mm-hmm.
We realized we needed to do more. So what Reborn does today is we focus more on not only community-based events and several different forms of support groups and several different forms of supporting each other through, you know, getting together and being able to have that non-stigma, that very comfortable non-judgmental zone to talk about mental health. But also we're focused on creating programs that will help young people directly. Okay. So our biggest goal has been to launch a four-step program that gives young people the ability to work with a peer-to-peer counselor, a therapist, a life coach, and a monthly support group for a low monthly cost. Right. So that has been our biggest focus for the last year and will be for the next few years going forward.
Okay. How did the idea for the name Reborn come about?
So it's actually a funny story.
Okay. I'll laugh.
So one of my mentors, his name is Charles Cording, millennial entrepreneur. He has helped several businesses and several startups and several young entrepreneurs get off the ground and take their idea to the next level. I had met him through a co-working space in Newark that had just been starting up. And long story short, he started mentoring me and helping me because I had so many ideas of how we could really take this idea, which was just an idea at the time, to the next level, and how we could create a nonprofit that would really go towards helping these young people and catering directly towards them and making them feel like they had friends, you know, outside of their own friend group mm-hmm. with our organization. So Charles and I were working one night really late. And I used to never sleep. I was always awake trying to figure out, you know, how were we going to create this organization that could really impact young people's lives? But the name was always, you know, the most important thing to me at that time because we had to have a strong name that meant something, that made people say, well, what is that? What does that even mean? And I was having a conversation with Charles one night. We were working really, really late. And I had all these thoughts going through my head for ideas, and I was just shouting out different ideas for the names. And all of a sudden I said, well, when you think about it, all of us have a past, all of us have a journey. And when I went through my journey in my life, I can say that that person is not the same person that you're talking to today. I'm a new person. But those things helped create this person. Those things created the journey, right. And they helped change me. And I was able to allow that change to be in a positive direction for myself. And I said, well, basically, that's like being reborn. In a way, you can have a life that you think you're never going to get out of, especially when you're suffering with depression or anxiety or suicidal thoughts. You think it's never going to get better. However, it can. And that journey creates a person to be reborn. So that's why we ended up naming it Reborn.
Okay. That is an interesting story, actually, you know.
Thanks.
And, you know, it's so sad because suicide is such a traumatic effect on families, friends, associates. We know this lady who... ironically, she was talking to my wife on the phone, and she says, oh, so-and-so, I won't say the son's name, he didn't come home last night. His bed is still made. So she's talking. She says, I'm going outside. I have to do something outside. You know, she walks outside. She finds her son hanging from a tree in the backyard while she's talking to my wife on the phone. It's so sad. We know this gentleman who... lost his wife through, you know, medical issues, cancer and what have you. And he thought that he and his son were, you know, getting along real good after a while, you know. And one night his son says, gee, let's go out to dinner, you know. And they went out to dinner. They had a good time. And they went home. And the son says, I'm going to go out for a little while. He says, I'll see you later. And he went out and killed himself. And it's just so sad. I mean, it destroyed the father for, you know, a good while. You know, now he lost his wife and his son, his whole family, you know. And it is so sad. You know, it really is. And it's not something that, you know, like we said, it's the second highest, you know, cause of death, you know, between that age group. So, it, you know, any way we can help people. And NAMI tries to do the same thing
as
you're doing, you know, is try to help people who have these issues, you know, get help that they need, you know. Now, I know the idea came from probably you losing a friend of yours, correct? So how far along are you, you know, with your thoughts of what you want to do? How far along are you now?
You mean in regards to how far we
how
are
far
with the program?
How far we are with the programs and stuff.
Absolutely. So actually, very exciting news is that we are launching a case study for this program in September. And we're still finalizing some details, so I can't say too much more right now.
Right.
But we're so excited about it. And once that time comes around, we will be offering a 3 to 6 month period of time for free for anybody who wants to be a part of this program to be a part of the case study so that we can really truly make sure that these steps are going to accurately help young people. You know, with what you just talked about with the story, those two stories, you know, it is so heartbreaking. And there are so many young people, sadly, who are suffering and don't feel that they can necessarily talk about it.
Right.
But at the same time, I truly believe, and we truly believe at Reborn, that young people do want to talk about it. You know, it's about finding people who they're comfortable to talk about it with and finding
people
who want to reach out.
Well, that's the whole thing, finding some that they're comfortable talking to.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly. A lot of times that, you know, people, not only youth, but adults who have mental health issues want to talk, but they want to talk to people that they feel they can connect with.
Exactly.
A lot of times, you know, my wife and I have gone through, excuse me, hell for, almost 12 to 15 years with our son, one of our sons. We have four kids and he's the youngest, and it's paranoid schizophrenic. And, you know, he was almost 3 years hospitalized in state hospitals, Trenton Psych, until Whitman was governor. And she said that if you have a mental health facility in your county, then you get transferred. So then he got transferred to Hagedorn when it was still open. So he was there for almost, you know, between Trenton and Hagedorn, he was hospitalized for almost 3 years. And then when he got out, he was in and out more times than we care to count, you know. So people will talk to me because, you know, we've been through it, you know, and we understand what they may be going through, you know, because we understand what our son went through. So it is good. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're very lucky today to have with us Maggie Rose, who's one of the co-founders of Reborn. And we also have with us Teddy, who won't give her last name, but she's the marketing director.
I'm like, that was not supposed to be disclosed. I was never asked. I'm like, they're kind of framing.
You were just brought along as company, right? But,
exactly.
You know, then now you got a mic in front of you. So now you can explain what a marketing director does in Reborn. Because I think in different companies, they do different things. So I just was curious.
Yeah. It can be a variety of things. Right now, we are trying to revamp a lot of how we're marketing, and we're looking up a lot of statistics and research about marketing and how, you know, when's the best time to, like, post on social media and what will draw more people in, that kind of thing. I mean, mostly right now, we're focusing on social media. A lot of it's, like, Facebook, Instagram, and I make all of the posts for social media. I make a good amount of the print materials. Like, we just handed you that card promoting our 5K, which we will discuss, and that, you know, those print materials, I make a good amount of those, but right now it's mostly just social media. We're trying to get ourselves out there so more people are aware
aware of the organization and what they do and who they help, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it's sometimes tough to do that.
It's, oh my God, it's so difficult because you have to be able to keep people's attention as well. It's not just outreach and, you know, seeing how many people see our posts and whatnot. It's actually getting them engaged.
Right, and getting them to help or volunteer or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I know we've gone through... NAMI has gone through these ups and downs with that, you know.
Yeah, that's basically what it's like right now.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be like that, you know, because there's people who volunteer who are going to stop volunteering because they're either going to move or they got something to do or they're going to have a baby or whatever, you know. And then, you know, you're going to have, we got to get more volunteers. We got to get more people, you know. So it's a constant thing.
Yeah.
So your job isn't just, you know,
exactly.
6 weeks.
Exactly. Marketing is always needed no matter what. So I was like,
exactly.
I'm solid for right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. How much further along do you see Reborn in, like, in the next 5 years?
Oh, my goodness. I love this. So,
Well, you sent me the topic. I made the question up. So,
No, it's okay.
I'm only kidding.
No. I love it because Reborn really is my passion, and Teddy can attest to that.
Yes.
The team knows that Reborn is like my baby, and we have a lot of different goals and big visions and, you know, missions that are going to be continuing for the next 5 years. So besides this program, we have other programs that we want to launch, and this is just one of those. We have step-down programs. So in the next 5 years, what we see besides taking this four-step program throughout the state of New Jersey is taking it nationally. We want to be able to offer this four-step program across the entire country to young people everywhere. And if that means internationally as well, we would love that. I can see us partnering with several different organizations around the world to offer a program like this.
Do you think that you could get people to start Reborn in, like, Massachusetts or Arizona, you know?
We have chapters.
Yeah, we have a track already going for that, which is nice.
Yeah, we actually have two other chapters right now. We have one in Washington, D.C., and we have one in Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah.
So our goal as well with that is to spread that across the country. We're moving more slow and steady with them. However, because those are our first two chapters outside of where we are. And Philly has been doing a great job. They're further along than Washington right now. But their group has come together, and they've been holding a lot of events. And the goal is to not only give them the opportunity to throw events and bring awareness to mental health, but to also not only have the awareness, but to have the actual prevention aspect of it.
Right.
And give them the opportunity to freely come up with ideas that we can work with them to create. Because there are so many young people who have ideas that they can contribute to this.
And, you know, like, they may come up with an idea that you didn't think of and you could share, and that's what's so great about it.
Exactly.
That was weird. We're spending too much time together, obviously.
Yes, that's true.
But, you know, it is great, you know. It's like, there's a like I said on the thing before, there's a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey and every state in the union. Now, granted, some in some of the states are not as active per se,
right,
but they're there. You know, I mean, for better or for worse, they're there, you know, and they are overseas. We have NAMI overseas also, like, you know, you're looking to do.
Right.
But, you know, we've been around a little longer, too, so, you know.
One more, of Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the biggest visions that I personally have for Reborn, and this is something that I mentioned to Teddy not too long ago, and we agreed it's something a little bit farther down the road, but we would love to be able to open up, you know, wellness facilities, basically.
Right.
You know, areas where young people can come in and contribute their ideas,
right,
but also can attend these programs. One of the biggest aspects of the four-step program and why it's so important to us is because we don't just want to help young people get, you know, to the next level in their therapy aspect or their peer-to-peer counseling aspect, but we want to give them that life coaching aspect so that they can take their goals and accomplish them and understand what they truly want to do, have their passion, and find their purpose through that.
Right.
And we want to be able to offer that opportunity to them and have a space where they can do that. So that's definitely a big goal. I would love for that to happen in the next 5 years.
How do you get the people you help?
Well, actually, a lot of it, just like Teddy mentioned, social media is a huge aspect of marketing.
Right.
It's a huge aspect of outreach, especially for that under 30 community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really talk about 18 to 24, but what we're talking about is that under 30 community.
Right.
And they all use social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now Pinterest is a big thing. You know, YouTube is still a big thing. So there's a lot of young people who will find our events and find us and comment and send us letters and reach out to us through social media.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. How do you determine if a youth wants to help you offer?
Wants to help. Say that one more time.
No, I said, how do you determine if a youth wants to help you offer? In other words, somebody reaches out to you and they're hesitant. And they, how do you determine whether they could be helped?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, that's obviously a really big question. When young people reach out to us online specifically,
mm-hmm.
it's difficult to tell, you know, much more than what they're telling
right.
us. Because
right. well, that's,
it's like reading
case.
It.
Right.
Exactly.
With any circumstances
exactly.
like that. You know.
So when it comes down to it, especially with this program, and I keep bringing that up, obviously, because that's our biggest, you know, focus right now. And a lot of where we're coming from is coming from, you know, pre-signups for this program and people interested in this program. But when young people reach out to us for help, we look at it as everyone, like I said before, everybody has a story. Everybody has
right.
a journey. No matter what that person is going through, we want to be able to help them. We can only help them so much, which is why having therapists in our network and working with therapists who can then determine further is one of the most important aspects of what we do.
Well, I feel like on a personal note, I am someone that has struggled with like suicidal ideation and stuff in the past, and it is like it's hard because you want help, but you're like, we mentioned this before as well, you're kind of scared to say something because it is very taboo still and it's very awkward to talk about. But I think even if they are reaching out, even just to say, I want to be a part of this somehow, that is them asking for that help and that opens that door. I feel like that's a big indicator as well, as people even just slightly mentioning it, because I know sometimes to my friends I'd be like, you know, I'm really not feeling, you know, the greatest today mentally. Like, I just don't know what to do, that kind of thing. So I feel like just the slightest indication can also help
okay.
as well.
All right. You find a youth that wants help. Okay. What's the procedure to get the help the person needs?
Oh, well, if somebody comes to me and they say, I really need help, you know, this is what I'm struggling with, or maybe they don't say anything at all and they just say, I need help. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try and talk to them. Okay, tell me what's going on. Tell me what you've been struggling with. When I was in high school, I actually became a peer-to-peer counselor, and I was taught the wall of what, which was basically to ask questions in a way that pointed that individual towards answering their own questions, towards digging deeper for themselves. So in that case, I would say, well, what has made you feel this way, or what might have contributed to that? So I'm going to try and talk to them and see what the root might be. And then I'm going to figure out where are they, where are their locations, what do they have access to? Can
right.
they take themselves somewhere? Can they not? You know, is this something where I'm talking to a 15-year-old girl who hasn't even told her parents yet that she's been struggling, or her parents know nothing? Is this
a lot of parents don't, you
yeah.
know, because they keep it away, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's true. I, going off of experience, talking about 15-year-olds, I had a 15-year-old girl who reached out to me actually a couple years ago when I was first starting this. She reached out over Instagram, and she told me her story. She had been cutting herself since she was 11. Her parents were divorced. Her father was abusive. She felt like she couldn't live anymore. She had a classmate who had committed suicide already, and she was 15 when she was talking to me at this point. She knew that she needed help. So it was interesting that with all of those things, she didn't choose to commit suicide. Not, you know, necessarily not saying that it's a choice, but
right.
She did not commit suicide. Instead, she reached out. So in that case, because she was under 18, I had to talk to her and figure out if there was a counseling program in her area, or figure out how she could go about talking to her parents, or if I could go about talking to her parents and step in that way. If it's somebody who's over 18, it's a little bit easier to work with them because they don't have to get parental consent.
Right.
You know, and that's always very difficult.
Yep, definitely. Do you find that the reasons some youth who are considering taking their life and they're willing to speak about it, do you find that the reasons are similar in many cases?
You mean in the case that there may be a trend?
Somewhat like that, yeah. Like maybe they may be quote-unquote different and they don't fit into the groove of school and they don't like, you know, they don't have many friends or they don't have any friends and,
right.
you know, and they're picked on or, you know.
Well.
Oh, sorry. We both started talking at the same time again. I know from experience because I, like, because I'm still in college right now.
Okay.
And I have really become a peer mentor and I do talk about my mental health issues because I know it's so prevalent among this age group. A lot of my friends, a lot of it's, you know, going to school, the cost of school, a lot of it's already, you know, pre-existing conditions, whether it's depression or anxiety. Like, I know for me, it was a lot of financial issues and a lot of depression and anxiety about just life in general. But I think, I wouldn't say so much there's a trend happening, but I think it's definitely more susceptible, especially with, you know, you hear it all the time, how people are so affected by social media and how it can really be detrimental to people's, you know, self-esteem and whatnot. So I think that's also a big trigger for people.
Well, that's affecting youth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because social media today is, like, staggering.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Especially among young kids. Like, you see people, like, as young as 10, 12, like, on Instagram and stuff now, and it's just, it's everywhere.
You see kids in a supermarket with their parent, with their mother, and they barely can walk, and they're, you know, going lip it on their little hand phone or whatever the hell it is, you know.
It's true.
And they're, I don't know, when I drive around some going places, you know, I notice, like, say, a group of people on a corner. They're not talking. They're all pounding on their little phones. And that could be 60, 70 years old down to 12, 13, or younger, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so, to me, first of all, I don't have that many people I want to talk to. second of all, I don't know what I would say to them. You know, and what are they typing in there? I mean, you know, I don't get it, but that's me because I'm old. You know, but.
Social media is huge, and it's a huge topic that we like to talk about a lot, too, because you have this pro and this con. And they're huge. They're both huge. It's not like maybe a little bit better on one side, maybe not. It's huge differences here. And what we're talking about is you have social media. You have the ability to communicate with anybody at any time, in any time zone, in any place in the entire world at all times. You have this crazy ability in the digital age to literally talk to anyone, anywhere. And you would think that is amazing. And years ago when, you know, this was something that people wanted to create, that was the goal, to be able to give the opportunity to talk to anybody at any time, in any time zone, anywhere in the world. The problem is that just at the same time that, let's say, a young 16-year-old girl in high school is trying to go to class and focus, you know, in on class, she's also being cyberbullied by 10 other fake accounts that were created by one individual who has been able to cyberbully her by 10 different accounts at the same time. And nobody knows who's doing it, and that causes this girl to then become depressed and anxious and scared, and that leads her to suicidal thoughts. So you have this pro, which is communication. Everybody always wants to be able to communicate more, at least for the most part. And then you have this con, which is that there are so many bad things that this weapon of...
It's very easy to be anonymous, and a lot of people hide behind that to make other people... feel bad about themselves,
right.
Which is a huge factor.
It's a lot different than when, well, they had bullying when I was in school. I mean, you know,
right,
that's
right.
Going back 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but
stop.
But you know, there were bullying, and
yeah.
It was usually what they used to call the geeks. You know, the smart kids who, you know, did all the work, and then the, you know, the jocks would bully them. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I never forget. I only went to two high school reunions in my life. But the last one I went to, this guy comes up to me and he says, "You're Larry Cartwright, aren't you?" I says, "Yeah." And I didn't know who he was. He says, "You don't remember me, do you?" I says, "No." He says, "You saved me from four football players trying to shove me in a locker."
Aww.
I says, "Really?" And then it came back to me. He says, "Yeah, you told them you'd break every bone in their body if they ever touched me again." And they never bothered me again, ever. And that was junior year in high school, so another year. He says, "And I always thought of you," he says, "and I always appreciated it, and I was looking forward to come see you again, you know, and say thank you." I said, "Well, you know, that's cool, man. You know, I'm glad everything worked out. You know, what am I going to say? You know." But, you know, it was different back then, too, because it wasn't. It's worse now, I think, because of the social media and everything. Back then, they picked on you, or they, you know.
Yeah.
You know. That's a good example, too, of, like, you never know what people are going to hold on to, you know.
Right.
Obviously, you didn't remember, but he did.
No.
So.
You know, after he brought it up, I vaguely remember, you know, telling four football players, you know, pick on me. Try to put me in a locker, you know. But because I was in a gang, quote, unquote.
Oh.
We called it a club, but they called it a gang.
Oh, okay.
Never did anything, you know, like didn't rob stores or anything like that. But we, you know, we were a group and hung out together, you know. And I was one of the youngest because the guys, two of the guys were in the service already. And the others had all got out of high school and they were, you know, working and what have you. But, you know, anyway. Now, social media is affecting youth.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know. And, you know, it's sad. It really is. And, you know, do you think that the youth's communication and coping skills are affected by all the social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation not too long ago with somebody who asked me, why is it that there are so many young people who are reacting to things like bullying and anxiety for tests or exams so differently than when I was in my generation years and years ago, this person said. And he said, but they can communicate with each other. I don't understand what social media is doing to young people today. And I truly believe, and we truly believe at Reborn, that social media can be a really great thing, which is why we use it to communicate really positive things. And we post a lot, not only about events, but we post about mental health statistics. We try and post about positive aspects to adding to your day, different things that you can do to help yourself as well. But coping skills, it's such a huge topic and also a misunderstanding today.
Right.
Young people do not know how to react to many of the things that come against them, especially online. When you have somebody who's in person, who's in front of you, who's saying something that you don't like, you are going to react a certain way.
You can react to it, right.
But when you have the ability to react online or do something damaging online to an individual, it seems to change the way that we cope in person.
Right.
I have a little sister. She's 17 years old. And already I've seen the difference in her generation and how they cope with things. They love to post about their feelings online, even when it's not really good things to say. And it affects them and it affects their friends and it affects the way that they live their life.
Sure.
More young people have anxiety. And personally, I do believe that that is contributed through social media in different aspects.
Right.
For me, for example, like another personal example, anecdote, if you would, we both grew up in that because, you know, I'm 25, so I'm right in that age group where it was that transition of having like no technology to all technology. And I even noticed, this is why I had put myself back into counseling, that I just had no coping skills at all. Like, I didn't know how to really, especially, you know, I do have depression, anxiety, stuff like that. So that obviously affects it. But to not even have the capabilities to be able to rein myself back in to make some sort of decision, I was like, this is obviously just going to keep affecting me for the rest of my life.
Right.
And, you know, I went back into therapy and they taught me, you know, certain coping skills for situations, like ways to kind of bring yourself back to a state where you can rationalize things. But like she said, like I have a nephew who's 17 and another one who's 11, and they both don't really, you know, they're all about social media and they do post a lot of times about, you know, how they're feeling and stuff. And, you know, they've had incidences where they've had their friends say that they're going to kill themselves on social media and that's how they got help. But like, you know, you don't want to go about it that way.
No.
It's just very, it's very difficult.
No, human connection is incredibly important.
Yeah.
And that's something that, that's one of the largest cons of social media is that we've 100%. Lost human connection and the ability to share one's heart with another heart and be able to share your feelings from one person to another person in person. You know, it's one thing to go online. I think that blogging is very healthy. I think that being able to write and really take time to think deeply is very important. But there's so many young people who lack the ability to think as deep as they can. And they have this hidden, locked potential inside of them that they don't realize that they have. And so we've lost this human connection that is so important in that.
Usually it's just a gut reaction where it's an instantaneous thing.
Right.
Where it's, there's no thinking in between.
Right. We have to take another quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Maggie Rose, who is a co-founder of Reborn. And we have Teddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is me.
Teddy over here, who's the marketing director for Reborn. And we've been talking about some of the problems that youth face with cyberbullying and, you know, some of the problems that they may have being, you know, and how it's a little different than when I was growing up. Yeah, you had bullying, but it wasn't spread out all over on social network, you know, because there was no such thing, you know. And so anyway, I mean, we were talking about this. Now, youth who are in school and are struggling, is there something that the schools can do to help?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen also many schools, you know, over time, over the last 5 to 10 years, who have tried to make a step forward, you know, towards helping mental health. We definitely agree with the idea that mental health should be involved in health classes.
Right.
There's so many schools that are trying to start that.
That's why we go to schools to talk to them.
Right, right. Yeah. And there's so many organizations that have done a phenomenal job in going to talk, you know, to different schools and trying to create workshops for different schools and camps and retreats.
Right.
And those are all really good. But we truly believe that suicide prevention, mental health, should all be brought up in courses in school throughout their period of time, not just one health class
right.
that is brought up freshman year or sophomore year, your high school career. It should be brought up in every aspect of your schooling, because at any moment, like mentioned earlier, you know, Teddy here is still a college student, and the different things that she has seen while still going to college, you know, can bring up different aspects of anxiety, depression, peer pressure, bullying. Those are all things that you see between your freshman year of high school and your last year of college, and sure. even in the real world once you get out there and you're working. But being able to develop coping skills, develop human connection, and continue to develop understanding on how to not only help yourself, but how to help others should 100% be affiliated somehow with high schools and colleges.
Hunter and Central, a couple of years back, a group of students started Strides Against Stigma.
Yes.
You know about it?
I do.
Okay.
My sister goes there. That's the school that my sister goes to.
We have had them on the radio, and they've come to NAMI meetings, and we've helped them with various things that they try to do. And I thought it was excellent. I thought mm-hmm. it really, you know, helped. And, you know, it took the school a while to accept it. And that bothered us.
Yeah.
Bothered NAMI, yeah. you know, put it that way. But because at one point they had a list of all the organizations in the school, all the clubs and different things, and they weren't listed. And now they are.
Hmm.
So
I feel like that's very common, though. Like, I know, especially in this area, there have been a couple suicides of people that are in high school and stuff, and the schools don't even really want to acknowledge it. But it's such a rampant, you know, issue
sure.
that it's unavoidable. And I think people are catching on to that now, that it is something that's, you know, detrimental.
There was a young girl at just before Christmas in Central who committed suicide, hung herself in the bathroom.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah, right, yep.
Yeah.
And talk about sad. Mm. We had a table up at one of the grammar schools because they were going to give a talk about all this. And this couple came up. They were older, about my age. And we were talking, and the fellow said, yeah, he says, that was my granddaughter who got killed, who hung herself. Well, I'm never at a loss for words, and I was like, you know, I just didn't know what to say, you know, other than I'm truly sorry, you know. And he says, that's my daughter over there. She's going to talk later, and that was the kid's mother. And, you know, it was like, like I said, I just didn't know what to say to the guy or yeah. husband and wife, you know, they were grandparents. It just, you know, like I said, I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I was just other than I'm truly sorry, you know, I didn't know what else to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's so sad. It really is that people think they have to go to that length mm-hmm. to, you know, that they can't face it anymore.
Well, that's why we focus a lot on, you know, the under 30 generation, because you see kids, you know, as young as like 8 or 9 now threatening to kill themselves and, you know, going on these outbursts of like, you know, I hate my life, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's so, like, it's so sad. Like, I don't have any words for it.
Right.
We actually had an opportunity to, years ago, when, so building the foundation of Reborn, we got our 501c3. Like I said, we just celebrated our year, but the foundation had been built 3 years ago. And I had been working on that idea for a while. And so I had this opportunity a couple years ago, like 3 years ago, to speak to Papyrus, which, yes, is a card company here in America, but in the UK, it's actually the number one leading organization for mental health. And they work very close, you know, with the different government and, you know, leaders and so forth. And I was actually able to Skype the acting president, and his name is Jed Flynn. And I was speaking to Jed, and, you know, we were building this foundation, and we were talking about statistics, and he and I had been talking about some statistics that his organization had recently put out. And they did a study, and they found that when young people, especially under 30, had visually seen some sort of self-harm or some sort of visual of how to self-harm or how to commit suicide, whether it's in a movie or a TV show, that image then stays in their mind, and their brain acts as a filing cabinet and sorts that in the back of their head, and the automatic response that their brain comes to when they're severely depressed is to take that image and see it as an option. Now, this was just a study that they had done, and it was very interesting because we don't want to believe that, right? The thing is that there's something different with the young people today. This is a new generation. It's a new age. We're in the digital age. Social media is huge, like we talked about before. However, young people are understanding how to do these things at a much younger age than they should. Right. How did that girl have that option in her head to do that? How did she know to do that in the bathroom? How did she? How did she know? And it's so sad and it's so heartbreaking. And when I hear those stories, all I want to do is somehow magically go back in time and grab her and tell her how amazing she is and how much potential she has in life.
Sure.
So how do you communicate that before somebody young does something?
That's the tough part, you know.
Yeah, that's also like that's also the issue with a lot of like school shooters as well. Like they see other people doing it and they think that's an option, and that's and it's so easy as well to, you know, be on the internet and see things that are gory or, you know, messed up in that sense that are, you know, aren't traditional options of self care, whether it be some sort of self harm or suicide. That's also it's so easy to access.
You know, time flies by. And if people wanted information, is there a phone number or Facebook or
absolutely.
Would you like to give it out?
Absolutely, yes. So so if you actually go to www.reborn.social, that's going to bring you right to our website. So that's going to give you all of our information, our location. It gives you directions to our location, our phone number, our email. You can contact us through a form.
I think our social media is connected through that as well, so you can find us on social media if you want.
So I would say that if somebody was trying to connect with us and they have a computer and they have access to a phone, please go to www.reborn.social. However, our address is also 40 Church Street, right in Highbridge, or right by Main Street, so feel free to stop by at any time.
You have a phone number that they could reach out to?
We do, and I will admit that I have forgotten the last two digits. It's a brand new phone number. However, okay. I will tell it to you in just 1 second, but it is a brand new phone number, which is why my brain is having a moment here. But we are right in Highbridge, and all of our information is online, all of our social media.
Also, it talks about we have an event coming up on July 27th in Califon. It's a 5K run, and that's to support our
Help suicide prevention.
Exactly. It's to support our four-step program launch. We have a kids' race, a one-mile walk.
Okay, you got kids' race at 8 o'clock. You got a walk at 8:30 and a 5K run at 9:30.
Yes. And that website, I mean, that information's on our website as well. So everything is on there. Like she has.
Well, if you can't find a phone.
I'm trying right now.
Well, don't worry about it.
I know I have it.
If you, you know, actually, if they go to Facebook, they can get it, right?
Yes.
Yes. I'm literally Googling.
It is also on my business card.
I was going to say, it comes up with your cell phone number.
Okay, so temporary moment of weakness there. So our phone number is 908-617-5489, and that is our brand new number.
Yes.
And we, like I said, we are in Main Street. Our Instagram is actually reborn.social, too.
Why don't you give that phone number again?
Sure. It's 908-617-5489.
Pretty much all of our website and our social media titles are reborn.social. So if you put that into Google, it'll take you right to us.
Yes,
well, that's
it will.
Great. And I can't thank you enough for coming. Time has flown by, and, you know.
We had a good talk. It was a good conversation.
Well, it was.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you. You guys did the conversation. All I did was ask the questions. And remember, folks, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. And mental health really does matter. So try to remember that.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
For more information
or visit us
about
online
any of our
Premier
programs,
College Funding,
or to join
LLC.com.
NAMI Hunterdon,
a college degree,
the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.
Even if you don't qualify for financial assistance,
we also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
For more information about any of our
programs
or to join NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health.
College education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.
Even if you don't qualify for financial assistance,
we also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
For more information
or visit us
about
online
any of our programs
college funding,
or to join
LLC.com.
NAMI Hunterdon,
college degree,
the voice for mental health.
College education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.
Even if you don't qualify for financial assistance,
we also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
For more information about any of our
Premier College Funding,
or to join
LLC.com.
NAMI Hunterdon,
college degree,
the voice for mental health.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunter at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
More information
or visit us
about
online
any of our
Premier College Funding
or to join. Nami Hunter,
college degree,
the voice for mental
illness. A college education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced
mental
illness.
Even if you don't qualify for financial
We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunter at 908-788-3799
for a free consultation.
For more information
about
any of our programs or to join Mommy Hunter,
college degree,
the voice for mental illness.
College education, you don't have to go into debt.
Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness.
Even if you don't qualify for financial assistance.
We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call.